At the end of the day, with me, Ronnie Barber, catching up with Chris Pringle, the Chief Executive Officer of CAMHS FA. I gather you've had a busy week, Mr. Pringle.
Yeah, very busy week. Just back from St George's Park, and what a fantastic venue that is. It's always a pleasure to go up there. And we arrived and saw Jimmy Floyd, Hasselbank and Burton Albion sort of having a training match, one of their junior teams. So yeah, great place to go. Loads on the agenda up there. Sort of, it's a big planning phase, lots of strategic stuff going on. Lots of different things being talked about, and then how we're going to pull it together locally. So, yeah, very, very busy week.
So this is the National Game Conference. Did you actually talk about the game and how to develop it?
Yeah, so we're talking about things specifically like we talked to the other week about the England DNA thing, and our role in that is how we develop coaches, how we develop players, their experience at grassroots level. So there's stuff around that. There's some changes coming later on about the FA course program. We believe they're being looked at, so that's going to roll out later this year. Again, with the aim to develop coaching and develop players. So it's all got to weave together. We've got to then see how the investment in facilities can work. So we had some updates on that. Hopefully, you know, we talked about park life and, you know, potential for hub centres across the country. So, yeah, we're going to see what we can do in Cambridge to try and take full advantage. So, yeah, loads to think about.
I mean, we've talked before, Chris, about how you want, particularly in Cambridgeshire, you want to really kind of make the game so open that people can get a game when they fancy it. Is that the FA's thinking as well?
Yeah, so the FA, very, very big on, and lots of industries are now, very big on this word insight. So in simple terms, listening to customers. What do they want? When do they want it? So for us, I mean, we've already been doing things like inter-firm, veterans football, also flexi leagues, trying to look at when players need it. They can't necessarily play on a Saturday. So can we do something during the week, bite-sized chunks, without necessarily almost only giving them the option of maybe five-a-side football, because lots of people want something that's more like 11-a-side. So the things we've started to do, reassuring that I think we're on the right track, but the whole insight thing is about, you know, doing more of it, trying to do it better, you know, trying to maybe just change gears a bit, try and do things a bit quicker and trying to get more people benefiting. So that's really going to be the push for the new strategy.
Does that tie in then, Chris, about, you know, trying to make and try to get better players at the national level? Is that going to dovetail with that thinking?
Well, the thinking is that all players at some point come through grassroots, and I think that's right. You know, obviously, in terms of the talent ID, some players get picked up very early and go into pro clubs, but at the same time, there are a number of players that may be going a little bit later. So even if it's 7-year-olds, we've got to make sure that their entry into the game is a good one, and the youth review's gone a long way to doing that. So, you know, the better our clubs are prepared to sort of work with these young players, nurture their talent, coach them in the right way, we hope, you know, that's the stepping stone of a positive experience along their way for some of them to go and play for England. So, yeah, we've got a role. It's not always easy to define it, but it is clear, and we've got to make sure that grassroots is geared up for that and aware of their role in player development.
He's in a goal! He's in a goal! He's in a goal!
So I see, Chris, that the England cricket team was knocked out of the one-day World Cup. It brings into kind of the England cricket sort of setup. They're looking at the whole development structure and everything. And I was thinking about this, about the national team, the England national team. Is it relevant anymore with so many foreign players? Do you think the general public really care that much about England?
Well, Wembley still has 90,000 people for pretty much every England game. So I think those 90,000 care. You know, and obviously even for a poor attendance at Wembley, for a small friendly, it'll be 60,000. So I think the England team's still massively relevant. I think we've probably got a little bit distracted by the Premier League and Champions League, and, you know, there's never been a more stark contrast, really, between the club v country discussion. But I think international football is still massively relevant. UEFA's looking at, you know, its new Nations League competition to try and, you know, introduce something to replace friendlies to make the games more meaningful. Because I think we really do now need to do something to really demonstrate that international football is relevant. And cricket will suffer at grassroots level because England haven't done well in the World Cup. You know, there is that link between the role models, the, you know, the viewing figures, and I think cricket's also had the issue of the game not being on terrestrial television. So, yeah, I still think international football is massively relevant. It is the pinnacle. I mean, I think back to, you know, Gazza's in the news at the minute. I think back to 1990, England get to the semi-final, the wave of optimism, everybody talking about football, positive news, and Euro 96 was the same. So we've not had much to shout about since 66, but we've had those two times when, you know, international football has taken over and rightfully had its place again at the top of the pyramid.
There's a real tension, though, isn't there, between being successful and winning ugly and being able to go on along and watch your side play brilliantly. And that is a problem, I think, maybe for most of the home nations. You know, they don't always show real skills on the field.
Yes, there is that. That's the whole winning at all costs thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And sometimes it ceases to be the beautiful game. I think the game we saw last night, the Chelsea Paris Saint-Germain, not the best advert for the beautiful game. Lots of stop-start, lots of very difficult game for the referee to handle. And in the end, this is a question about what is the professional game about? Is it about entertainment? Is it about success? Well, I'm sure it's a balance between the two somewhere along the line. And I think at times, maybe the balance shifts a bit too far down the, you know, we have to win at all costs mentality. You know, I think to my mind, we want to see an entertaining product as well. Put the two together and you've cracked it. I'm not sure how easy it is to do, though.
As he tips it over the bar!
And let's stay with gamesmanship. Graham Souness has come out and had a go at the shenanigans last night at Stamford Bridge with Chelsea versus PSG and the kind of the gamesmanship we've gone. And we talked about this a couple of weeks back, about the kind of the whole kind of play acting. I mean, it really does tarnish the game when you see referees getting badgered and people rolling over after a really innocuous foul. It just stinks to high heaven, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I tell you what, I saw the... I talked a minute about the game last night, but the Man United-Arsenal game, and there was some really tough calls for the referee to make where you know, players have come together and one of them's gone down. Was it a foul? Was it accidental? Or was it a dive? And I thought Michael Oliver dealt with that fantastically well. By the time you watch some of these incidents three times, you get to the truth. He had one quick look at it, made big decisions in front of the Stretford end and was prepared to sort of stick by it. So he did brilliantly well. Last night at Stamford Bridge, much more difficult. International match, Champions League. Yes, lots of things off the ball, lots of things on the ball. Really tough situation for the referee to handle. So, yeah, difficult, but it's not the beautiful game at times.
Yeah, and I just wondered, kind of, the other thing that came and really winds me up is this whole thing of players not celebrating when they score against their old side. David Luiz talking about it, you know, he apologised to Chelsea fans. Just get over it. You've scored a goal, you're probably a great bonus, and your team's on to the next round. Just forget about this kind of allegiance, you know, to your old club.
I think do what's in your heart. If your heart tells you you want to celebrate, you celebrate. Danny Welbeck did the other night, sort of going back to Old Trafford. And I guess it always depends on the relationship and the circumstances in which a player left. Sometimes I think when it looks natural, that's absolutely fine. You know, and I think, you know, it's an emotive game. Just go with it. If you want to celebrate, you maybe thought, well, I had a great time at that club, but I've moved on. You know, there was no acrimony, no issues. You know, just... you're now employed, you're playing for your new club, and you know you almost owe something to your new fans, spectators, to say, yeah, I'm with you guys, and we've scored and we're getting through to the next round. So personally, I've no issue with it. I've seen it done really well where it looks natural and there is that genuine respect and feeling between sort of players and their former clubs, and that's great. But when it looks a bit artificial and almost a bit of a bandwagon, I think it can look a bit, you know, not quite right, really. So go with your heart.
And you went at the weekend to see Forest. No, they were at home, weren't they?
They beat
Middlesbrough 2-1.
To the motherland. Yeah, fantastic. It was a bit like old times. My son said to me, he said, Dad, you used to stand on the Trent End, didn't you? You know, 145 years ago. Yes, son, I did. Of course I did. So he said, well, can we go and sit in the Trent End? So in we went, behind the goal. Not my preferred view of the game, but, you know, it really was a fantastic win, not a great performance. Good side, Middlesbrough, but couldn't get the ball in the net. But another 3 points for Dougie. So, yeah, on we go. Can we make up 9, 10 points? Not quite sure.
Did Mrs. Pringle go with you?
you know what, Ronnie? No, that's not her preferred day out, actually.
All right.
No, so she didn't. No, it was just me and my younger son. Off we went, day together. Pie and chips before the game, perfect.
And pie and chips before the game, perfect. Forest away to Leeds. Can I have a prediccione, please?
Yes, it'll either be a win for Leeds, a win for Forest, or a draw.
I want a score. I want a score.
As always, perm anyone from three with the mighty Reds. Right, let me think. Head over heart. We need to keep winning. Leeds 1, Forest 2.
Back of the net.